Hello, hello. How's everybody doing out there? Happy Sunday. Peasant chat. That's right. We're talking to poor people today. Poor people that have nothing else going on but to watch some bald Puerto Rican talk for about an hour and a half about Ford bullshit. I really appreciate the guys that get on early. When I schedule the show, I can see who's on early and the stuff that you guys are talking about. I appreciate just the loyal 50 or so of you that are like, look forward to the show. Get on before I even get on. You know, you start talking to each other. And I think we've built a nice little community here. We can get people work. We can get people GoFundMes. We can get people to mod nets. We can even get a guy who is absolutely retarded. Someone who should not get the opportunities he was getting. Three job opportunities. And the guy denied all of them. I've always wondered, like, which is going to be the next one? We used to have, maybe, guys remember KC526? Cute chick from Jersey, you know, had some money and would always donate, give a brother some money on the backside. And then, I don't know, I guess she got herself a Mexican boyfriend. He's like, I went party. And then we had, who else have we had? Remember Tony Full Bolton? Bitch asshole that guy ended up being. Like, literally the most sensitive guy I've ever come across. And then we have Turuviate, Mr. Turuviate, who doesn't know how to get out of his own way. So I've always wondered how many more characters are we going to come across in this situation. So what I want to talk about today is Ford is starting to look really bad, really fast, like really bad, really fast. No, TJ, but wouldn't it be funny if I started buying mid-80s Fords? And somebody, what the hell is happening here? We had snap off to right. So I wanted to talk about how Ford is looking really bad, really fast. And because I'm old, I remember the cars of the 80s, which are now potentially, oh yes, the dude with the old dead body with the, yeah, dude with the dead body in the trunk of your old car. Right. That guy who bought the car, wanted to flip it, and then started name dropping my shit. We've had some pretty interesting time, Tony. Remember that motherfucker? He was great. People like that need help. People like that definitely need help because the guy's like literally hurt. Okay, so someone said, thanks for the advice on the Turbo 400. I pick up the Trans next week and hopefully everything else comes in so I can get the tune order and badass. So we're going to talk about Ford starting to mimic 80s mindset. Build cars for the general public. Nothing sexy. Nothing fast, nothing that the enthusiast gets amped up about. Guys, do you remember when the Challenger got reintroduced? Remember when Dodge reintroduced the modern version of the Challenger? What that commercial did to muscle car guys? Now, we all kind of made fun of it in the Mustang community, but who would have known that little movement would have caused like the amount of traction that they have had. Where's Hellcats and Trackhawks? You can make fun of Hellcats and Trackhawks all you want. If you get a Trackhawk that makes 800 wheel on an SUV, you'll rock that shit. You'll absolutely rock that shit. You're not going to have any issue having fun with a all-wheel drive, supercharged 2.7, I think it's a 2.7 blower. 800 plus horse after you modify it and have a bunch of fun with it. But Ford is now reintroducing shit like the Tempo. Remember the Tempo? Remember the Escort? Remember the XR4 Ti? Remember the Thunderbird of like 83, 84, 85? The LTD, the Crown Vic? Like that was the Ford lineup. Remember the F-150, the F-250, the F-350. Then you had the Crown Vic. Then you had the Tempo, the Topaz Mercury version, the Mustang, the Taurus, the Thunderbird, and the Crown Vic. Garbage. The garbage fleet. Like, the garbage fleet. And now we have the Maverick, the Raptor, the Maverick, the LGBTQ, I don't know what the fuck I am car. I don't know. Am I a truck? Am I a car? Am I an SUV? I don't know. I'm kind of whatever I want to be at a certain day. And you're like, okay, so you got the Raptor. You got the F-150 who is a tried and true deal, but they have 15 different versions. And now the electric Lightning is going to be interesting. The Ford Bronco has had failing 2.7 engines left and right, which we will talk about. Ford lost $3 billion this quarter. $3 billion. The fair lane, the Fairmont, right? Like, let's talk about that. Okay, so the compact was the Escort. Then the Tempo, the Ford Tempo, was the small to mid-sized car. So let's show you what an Escort. Okay, so let's share the screen. Because I like talking shit. Then we'll say hi to the people. And look, this is peasant chat. We do whatever here. So you used to have the Ford Escort. All right, back in the day, you had the Ford Escort, this hunk of shit. This was the base economy vehicle that you could get at the time. Then they had the Topaz. Stop screen, share screen. Then they had the Topaz, which is hilarious to me. The Topaz. Right, the Topaz, and they did have an all-wheel drive version for a little bit, but then this was the mid-size situation. Then they ended up having the Taurus. Yeah, let's do a 1985 Taurus, right? So you had the Ford Taurus, right? This was like the bigger sedan. Then you had the Crown Vic, 1985. I mean, all these cars are, this was the lineup, guys. A lot of you guys probably don't even remember these times, but this was the fucking lineup back in the day. Then you had the Ford LTD 1985, right? It's fucking, I mean, now you look at this car and you go, oh man, I'd like to make a race car out of it. But back in the day, this was what you got. This is what you got. This hunk of absolute trash. It's a Fox body. Don't get me wrong. It's a Fox body, but this is what you got. Then you had the Mustangs, yada, 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 yada. So now you have the Maverick, the F-150. You have, what are the Econo? I don't even know anymore. The Fusion, do they have a Focus? The Focus is the Escort. The Fusion is the Topaz. What's the Taurus? What's the mid-size piece of junk they got now? Then they come out with these other dumb cars that are dumb shit. They lost $3.1 billion in the first quarter because of their Rivian investment. The engines are blowing up. The engines are blowing up in the 2.7 Broncos. And let's talk about that. But before we talk about that, before we get way into the weeds like Mr. Shelby, say hi to the people here because I love saying hi to the people, the loyal, the people that actually, if they would get a job offer, they take it because they ain't stupid. Andy Ali, German G, 2000 MCR, Josh Roy, Angel Parareka, Andy Ali, Wesley Stewart, Monty 540, JD Swag, Coyote Kelly, Shark Marls, Jason Friedberg, Bruce Lee, Mofler, Matt D, F98, One Slow 50, Silver Pigeon, Red SY50, Joey G, 508, Josh Intensity, Mustang, Manny, Oliver Bryan, Evan Smith, Garrett, I'm Hunk Solo, Phil, EPA in the house with the cookies. My girlfriend ordered 6 cookies. I didn't order them for there. She ordered them. They're gone that day. The parents and brother just destroyed shit. Patrick Lynch, RoboStyle, Velocity Street, Hendo, Ian Oz, TJ, Connor, S550, Whippled 50. Is it Whippled or is it gonna be Whippled? Because I'm surprised if anything is Whippled anymore. Top of the Morning says Fast Rider, Frank Weaver, Isaiah, Redbird, Anthony, Pussy, Pounder in the house, Intensity, Whippled 50. Just Say No to Eco. Coyote Kelly, Lady T, amongst a low. Rob Howe, EPA again, just a dick. Gandeep Singh. Okay, and all the usual suspects here. Let's get to the drive article and let's talk about what the hell is going. She ordered 9? Holy shit, I thought she ordered 6. She ordered 9. 9 times 6, yeah, that's a lot of money. And she ordered 3 Tony, 3 Double Ds, and 3 YDBT. Cookies, good for her. Okay, so let's share the Bronco article here, man. It's so good because I don't like that Ford is fucking up, but will I report on it? Yeah, hell yeah, because I told you guys this bitch is gonna be a fucking dud a long time ago. You guys thought I was full of shit. People are out there buying a Bronco with garbage can fender flares. That's right, you guys are buying Broncos with a garbage can fender flare and saying how awesome it is. Rob Stumpf, okay, this is from The Drive. Dozens of new Ford Bronco owners are reporting critical problems with their trucks. 2.7-liter EcoBoost engines, they're failing with low miles, under 10,000 miles by the looks of it. and are being sent to the dealers where repairs can take months. Whispers of these issues first hit the Bronco 6G forums in July of 2021. Through a thread chronicling the owner's testimonies has grown to include 46 affected off-roaders at the time of publishing. Oh my God. With the list of expanding by the week, the drive reached out to Ford for comment. A spokesperson from the automaker explained, "We are aware of the number of engines, or select number of engines with this concern, and we're investigating. If any customers are experiencing issues, they'll be covered under the vehicle's 5-year, 60,000-mile warranty." This confirms that Ford is at least acknowledging the situation, but what should Bronco owners be looking for? The first user reported issues with a Bronco with 1,100 miles on the odometer, and it was ultimately attributed to a dropped valve. What is Chevy making Bronco motors? This is the Gen 2 27. I don't know if the latest of the first 27 in the F-150 is similar, but the first 27 in the F-150, guys, is fucking legit. That little bitch makes power. But this second gen ship, because right here it says, to be clear, the motor we're talking about is Ford's second generation 2.7 liter EcoBoost. Presently, it's only found in the Bronco and F-150, but most reports of failures have been limited to Bronco. F-150 owners have reported failures as well, but it's significantly less common. Through the research of one man, the first generation 2.7 is still being used in Ford and Lincoln vehicles, though these not appear to be affected. Okay, so there you go. So now you're starting to see Broncos on the second gen 2.7 Eco suck dicks. Remember I talked about last week or so, I talked about the F-150 2.7. Like I had a loaner vehicle. It was a 2017 or 2018 F-150 2.7. That thing was quick. That thing was really quick. Dropping a valve like C6 ZOZ motors. Exactly. Like what are we doing? So then you hear that Ford, I'm going to Google it. I'm going to Google Ford lost 3.1 billion. There you go, $3.1 billion right here. So I'll share it too because I don't want you guys to think I'm just talking out of my ass. I love, you know, just talking a little shit on Ford because they're just sucking so bad. It's not even funny. Ford Motor Company reported Wednesday that it lost $3.1 billion in the first quarter, weighed down by its investment in the electric vehicle startup, Rivian. And its revenue slid as a shortage of chips, limited supply, and pickups of SUV in North America. Ford and SEMA. Okay, we're going to see. Ford SEMA. Is Ford going to SEMA? They said that Ford skips SEMA. Ford won't be at SEMA this year. This is another Honda article. Guys, this is looking bad. This is looking bad. So here we go. Update 4/29/22. This was 2 days ago. In an email to the drive, Honda spokesperson says the company actually has not decided whether it's going to SEMA this year, contrary to what SEMA wrote in a blog post. But Ford supposedly is. Due to change in corporate strategy, Ford and Honda will not be displaying in 2022 SEMA show, reads SEMA blog post. We appreciate the long-time support. While many of us are going to miss their participation in this year's show, we're excited to see the show take on a new look, aka empty as fuck in the main hall. That's basically putting lipstick on a pig. Oh, this pig, it's a shit. It smells like shit. It eats shit. Now let's put lipstick on it, make it look pretty. SEMA is hemorrhaging people. Not only is the automotive industry, because SEMA is the aftermarket. Right? SEMA is the aftermarket. And if the EPA is cracking down on the aftermarket, don't you think that Ford is going to go, wait a minute, what are we going to put out there? Remember those dollar vehicles they were giving? Remember when people like garages or shops were getting a dollar vehicle, meaning Ford would basically give you a vehicle for a dollar and you had to propose renderings ahead of time. The reason I know this is because BJ McCarty was responsible for Track Attack and subsequently the Focus the year after. The Focus was an utter failure. The Track Attack was an insane success. Insane success. So they go in there, they put a Gen 3 on it. I'm sorry, Gen 2R, a hood mimicking the ZR1 stuff. Great paintwork, great wheels, tires. Dynatech headers, loud fucking catback, just a dumb, loud, look at me vehicle. Now the EPA was like, nope. Oh, superchargers that have a CARB EO number? Imagine that SEMA becomes somewhere that EPA agents can look at what shops are modifying on cars and going, oh, you, this is a defeat device. This is a defeat device. This is a defeat device. That's what I thought. The first thing I thought, I said, wait a minute, think about it. If you go to SEMA at representing a shop and you have a modern vehicle being shown in the main hall, what is to say a couple of EPA motherfuckers in there with a couple of tags chilling and, oh, what's the name of your shop? Oh, we're blah, blah, blah out of, you know, Indiana. We're blah, blah, blah out of Florida. We're blah, blah, blah out of Texas. Really? Tell me what you did. Well, we installed a set of headers, off-road exhaust, the E85 fuel, 1700 cc injectors. It makes 1200 horsepower. It's the self-snitch awards. It's the self-snitch awards. Oh, let's go to SEMA and look at motherfuckers self-snitch on themselves. Because in this environment, I love you guys. I love you guys. In this EPA enforcing environment, I wouldn't build shit for SEMA unless it was looks only. Body lift kit or lift kit, suspension lift, wheels, tires, hydraulics on a classic, work on a classic stuff. But when it comes to modern performance, Ford could not give these vehicles to shops to build and the shops not self-snitch on themselves. Yeah, all the cars at SEMA are free-flowing exhaust. So think about it, the rats in the industry. Exactly. So think about it. How many cars were on the stage the SEMA year that Track Attack was in there when I was working for VMP? Okay. So they had a Hellion turbocharged, fully carbon fiber deal, not emissions legal, on the main stage, on the Ford main stage. They had Track Attack with engine 7/8 headers, high flow catalytic converters, which fucking promptly puked their guts out. Oh yeah, them shits puked their guts out along, like on the first two or three hits. It was a problem. So basically they had six or seven cars that were highly modified by highly sought after and touted shops that were not compliant with anything. And this was 2017 or 2018 or something like that. 2017. Yeah, it was 2016, 2017. I was so blown away by knowing what I know now with EPA stuff and what Ford was allowing back then, knowing that the EPA was enforcing stuff in 2015, and we were surrounded by cars on the main stage that were given to shops by Ford to modify that were not emissions compliant at all, and no shit, certain places got hit after that. It was crazy to me. It was absolutely crazy to me that was going on. So Ford is now going back to being gay as fuck, mid-80s stuff. You're going to see the Topaz probably again. You're going to see the Escort again. You're going to see the LTD again. You're going to see junk again, which comes in the form of a Maverick, a Bronco. What else? A Fusion is okay. I don't mind. They have like an EcoBoost Fusion that makes over 300 horse. That thing gets it. Okay, whatever. The Focus ST. Then you got the Explorer. You got like 15 different crossovers. And then you got the trucks. And you're just like, nothing is exciting. The Mustang makes less and less horsepower. Have you guys got into a modern Mustang? Call me crazy. Gen 2 fully loaded Mustang. A Gen 2 fully loaded Mustang. Let's say you bought a 2017 fully loaded Mustang. Yeah, Escape, Ranger, Ford SHO. Exactly, Ranger Raptor. Junk shit. Get into a 2017 California Special Gen 2 6R80 car. That's a nice fucking car. That's a nice fucking car. You get in it, steering wheel feels, you know, robust. Where your armrest seat feels good, you know, everything. Get into a 2022 Mustang, fully loaded. Everything, the leather, the blah, 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 blah. It feels cheap. Again, get into a brand new 2022 Mustang, fully loaded, fully decked out. It feels cheap. The steering wheel, even though it has the right stitching, it just feels cheap. The armrest feels cheap. The plastic is cheap. get into a 2020 and up GT500. You think you're getting a $100,000 vehicle? So what do $100,000 vehicle infotainment systems move like? Sync 3 is fucking trash. So if you get into a 2020 and up GT500 that you pay $100,000 for after dealer markup and all this dumb shit, your car is no better on the interior than a Gen 2 Mustang, maybe minus the dash and the seat. But everything else is circa 2017, 2016, 2015. Even the guys, I'm blown away. No one mentions it, but people go, oh, this GT500, it has Gen 2 headlights. The whole fucking car is a Gen 2. Why didn't they make it a Gen 3? And with all the nice shit, it's a Gen 2. Everything's Gen 2 on that car. And you guys are paying $100,000 for a Gen 2 Mustang with a 5.2 and a DCT. That loves to fail safe because you guys just can't live with 680 or 700 something horsepower. You guys go from 680 wheel right to 1,000 and wonder why your car sucks dicks. You think the DCTs are being made better or worse than when they first came out? Fail safe, slipping, clutch over temp codes. Good luck with those cars. Ford is back in 1978 through 1985, 86, 87. I think they started to take their heads out of their ass in 87, 88, 89 when the Mustang and the Notch, and that's where the Fox body craze exploded. Everybody was buying Fox body Mustangs. Everybody was modifying them. The drag strips were full of GTs. And then the LS Camaro, the Firehawk, all these WS6 Trans Am, all these cars started coming out. And cool shit started happening all over again. So let's talk to you guys, talk some shit. Sorry about the 21-minute lead-in, but I had a lot to say. And the peasant chat can get somewhat stagnant. So I gave you guys plenty of shit to talk about. Yeah, non-exotic cars are made cheaper and sold for profits. Exotic price tags are nuts, but come with the bells and whistles for overpriced, right? So how can you, with a straight face, brag about your 2020 GT500 when it's a Gen 2 interior, except for the digital cluster and Sync 3? What's different about a 2020 GT500 interior versus a 2017 Mustang? Nothing. The knob for the gear selector? And the digital dash in Sync 3. That's it. Sync 3 is the same technology North Korea uses in their missile program. It's very good. Most auto platforms start trying to pull costs out the last 2 years or so. The production run, it's supposed to not be noticeable. Oh, it's very noticeable. 2021 Mustangs are failing quick. 2022 Mustangs are failing quick and make less power. Guys, they make less power. They make less power. Small motors make good power, still suck when the vehicle weighs over 4,500 pounds, though. I have an F-150 3.5 Eco, and while it moves, it still doesn't compare to the 5.0 in the butt dyno and smiles per gallon. He says smiles per gallon. Should I just get rid of him because it says smiles per gallon? GT500 DCT burnouts are hilarious. They really are hilarious. If you go to a racetrack and you see a highly modified 2020 GT500, and you hear a guy with his DCT... What was that? That was me hitting the fucking some kind of limiter because I have a clutch over temp code. Because Ford heard you say Gen 2 is King Daddy, but misunderstood what you said. They didn't understand the assignment. It's the end of ICE engines. They're lost and so far behind compared to Tesla. Look, Tesla is probably 5 to 7 years ahead of anything, any other, because Tesla is an American company. Any other American company could do for their cars. They're so far ahead in the AI of the self-driving mode that they're going to start introducing self-driving taxis. They're going to start introducing robots that suck your dick, cook your dinner. They have automatic wedding vaginas. It's going to be unbelievable. You're going to be fucking robots. You're going to be fucking robots. And that robot is going to drive you somewhere. The robot. Someone put up a one. I'm only interested in the Coyote swapping the four-door Bronco. The next swap, if I was ever to take on another big project, I talked to Mikey about the Fairmont the other day. We're supposed to get the car back sometime soon, but I haven't heard from him. Let me check my phone, just make sure he hasn't hit me up. No, we got there we go. Here, nope, nothing. So it would be a Coyote swap OJ Bronco. TVS, like a Gen 2R rear feed, because that's the good one. Let's be honest. If you were to compare any TVS, the Edelbrock 2650, the Odin, the Roush, or the old school rear feed with a proper working throttle body, the old school rear feed has everybody licked. Everybody licked. Like, it's not even close. Silver Pigeon says, thank you, Alex, for all your knowledge. I've no Ford, but ordered a Coyote King Ranch, and your info will definitely come in handy. You got it, brother. And the Terminator will happen. Yes. Okay, so if you guys are a fan of sci-fi, Tesla is Skynet. Finally going to get to fuck the rubber ass and have it talk back. So once AI becomes self-aware and they set off the nukes, aka Judgment Day, it will be from China, Tesla China, Germany, Tesla Germany, Fremont, California, Giga Texas. I guarantee the nukes will go whoop from those locations, just like Judgment Day in Terminator. Once the robots or the AI figures out that the biggest threat to humans are humans themselves, it's going to be good shit. I can't wait for that day, because it's like, I'm such a sci-fi freaking nerd, because look, Elon Musk is Zephyrin Cochran. And if anyone here knows who Zephyrin Cochran is, you're my kind of people. Bitches think Teslas are foreigns. Right. Teslas are American. Tesla Tota coming soon. Alex, I have a 150 shot. Nitro setup with a BAB Gen 2. Planning on working on fueling. Do you prefer standalone or four innovations return style? And what torque converter would you recommend? On a nitrous converter, I'd really hit up Circle D. They're probably going to, because it's a high torque situation, they're probably going to recommend like a C stator. I think it's a stator, the C. And they're probably going to recommend like a 3C or a 4C because it's NA, but with a chunk of boost. They're probably going to recommend a C style stator. So hit them up. They're probably going to recommend that. A B, it would be more for turbos. An F is for NA only. So I would definitely look into what Circle D recommends, but I prefer a four innovations fuel system. If you're going to do a standalone fuel system, you could do that. Like, let's say if you have E85 in your main tank and C85 in your standalone fuel system, I still to this day hear people go, Alex, what fuel do you recommend I put in my nitrous standalone fuel system? I go, what is your main fuel? And they go, E85. I go, any 85% ethanol would work. Wait a minute, Alex, why shouldn't I put C16 in my standalone as an octane adder for my E85 in the tank? And obviously, you guys can answer that question. You can't start mixing different fuels, especially on nitrous. 4C converter, there you go. Get Termi music, dum-dum. Thinking about what he said about to GT500 being a juiced up Gen 2 with a DCT and a digital screen, they charge $100,000 for it. Damn, never thought about it like that. That's how you got to think about it. The difference between the GT500 and a Gen 2 Mustang is motor and trans and a digital dash. Is that worth $60,000? You're telling me a 5.2 with a blower and a DCT and a cute digital dash is $60,000, actually 70. It's a Gen 2 Mustang. It's a Gen 2 Mustang. Tell me what you're paying the premium for. The DCT that every stupid GT500 owner drag races like a dumbass? And by the way, shout out to the Parts Farm. To Auto Solutions. Appreciate you guys being part of the channel, being the members. If you guys want to pay a brother to have your logo up there, let a brother know. So, yeah. So people are drag racing DCTs when they're meant for road racing. They're meant for mostly road racing, and they do a killer job at that. But what happens when you pulley down too much on pump gas? Detonation. The thing hates life. So you go back down to the 30, or the stock pulley, and you go out there and you're fucking around. And you could just do it lap after lap after lap as long as your tires and brakes hold up. But no, you stupid motherfuckers listen to dumbasses on the internet that think they know everything about GT500s. You all of a sudden do everything. Exhaust, pulley, fuel system, lid, port. Now you have 1,000 horsepower GT500 that is only good at roll racing. Listen to me, Linda. Now you have made your car useless except for roll racing. It doesn't drag race that well. It does an okay job. But a 10R80 Mustang does a way better job than a GT500 at drag racing. A 6R80 Mustang does a way better job than any DCT Mustang ever at drag racing. But you dumbasses get a 600-plus wheel car. You go on the internet like dumbasses. You get convinced that it needs to make 1,000. Go to the drag strip and it fail-safes. Go to the road course and it's too much power for the road course because the thing is hating life. The DCT is going, nope, we're not going to do 2 laps around Palm Beach International or VIR or any of these places. But you guys are stupid and you bought a $100,000 Gen 2 Mustang. Congratulations. Congratulations, you stupid motherfucker. It is now a useless car. In my opinion, the perfect 2020 plus GT500 has a pulley, exhaust, pump gas, and a tune. Drive it, drag race it, run 10s or high 9s. Road race it and have a bunch of fun and not have issues, and it rolls race pretty nice, but it weighs 4,000 plus pounds and it's a Gen 2 Mustang with Sync 3 that sucks dick. And you look at yourself in the mirror like a fucking clown and go, the best Mustang ever made, $100,000. You could build a low 8-second 10R80 car for that. You've made it a useless roll car after 1,000. You've made it a useless roll only car. It's really stupid. Trevor's New Edge will do even better. I can't wait. Yep. The new GT500 is a great road course car, but people see the Cobra emblem and think they need 1,100 horsepower to get cock blocked by the DCT. Yep. Oh my God. This DCT is phenomenal. Hey, I love to hear GT500 guys at car shows. Oh my God, this DCT is phenomenal. Oh my God, it's going to be the best thing ever. Holy shit. Buys a ported blower, pulleys it to death, fuel system, makes 1,000, has the 1,000 horsepower hat and plaque and dyno sheet, laminates the bitch, puts it in front, buys a teddy bear that's the same color as his fucking car, goes to the drag strip, fail safes on the 2-3 shift because you did a John Force burnout and you have a clutch over temp code. Oh man, I'm getting my ass beat by Fox bodies. I'm getting my ass beat by 10R80 cars with a Whipple and 12 PSI. How is this possible? Oh, it's possible because you basically built a roll-only car that is not that great at roll racing. I would put my money on a 10R80 car on a roll with the same power than any DCT GT500. If you make 800 on a 10R80, 800 on a GT500, give me that on the 10R80 if it makes all the shifts. Shelby Dave is hitting himself right now. My 17350 is my last new Ford. Hey, my 19 Mustang is my last new Ford. I might go backwards and buy a 350. I might go backwards and buy another Gen 2 and fuck around and find out. But honestly, I'm not looking to buy anything new. Here we go. Turvey has some skills. Did that whole tubular front end by himself. Damn you, Linda. You made it a useless car. Clutch over temp. We suck again. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Oh, no. We suck again.
I'm over here like slamming gears and a stock shifter MT82. We suck again. Exactly. And a lot of the guys are in denial about that. Let's say you own a 2020 GT500, right? The best Mustang ever made. And then it does clutch over temp codes. There's no fix. There is no fix. You put new clutches in it. Then what? Then what do you think is going to happen if you put new clutches in it? You think it's going to fix the clutch over temp stuff? So let's say you raise all the limits. You raise all the limits and everything. I have always told you guys that a DCT is not worth shit until we have full access and start breaking stuff. The DCT, I think, is viable once things start breaking. I'm saying main shafts, gears, because that means we've shut off all torque reduction. But the problem is these cars make 1,100. They have the potential of making 1,100 wheel on a stock bottom end, over 800-900 torque. The car weighs 40-something hundred pounds. Like, to get that car under 3,600 pounds, it's carbon doors, it's front half, it's literally taking the chop saw and just going chop, 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 chop. Why are you going to do that to a $100,000 car for ego? You're going to go chop up a $100,000 car to say you have the quickest, fastest GT500. Bro, you talk about dumb. But I get it. People don't want to buy a Fox body that weighs 2,300 pounds. You can make 1,000 wheel on it, and that bitch will run a 7, no problem. Like, easy, easy 7, chilling, not even stressing the drivetrain, not even stressing anything, chilling. But then you're going to be like, but it's a Fox body. I'm not special. I'm not the first of something. Guys, do you know? Do you remember who was the first? Who was the first anything in the 7s? Coyote? Go. What was the first anything in the 7s? Coyote? Is he on the Mount Rushmore of anything? No. It's probably MMR. Like, people don't even mention them. Why not? It's a Coyote. But it's different. Well, how is it different? I love people's mental gymnastics to make themselves feel special in a weird tiny box that is Mustang. Blows my mind. Only new thing I bought was a TKM built Coyote and a turbo to swap my 70 Mach 1. Just Magnum swap GT500 and send it. But still, what are you going to pay for? Basically, a Gen 2 with a Magnum you spent $120,000 on. Yep. Why would I buy a 2020? Can I afford one? Absolutely. I love the people that bring that argument up. Alex, you're just hating on it because you can't afford it. Motherfucker, I had 5 cars at one time, and I was able to afford them comfortably. 2 of them were 8-second cars, the Fairmont and the GT500. The other one was a low 11-second car. The other one was a 700-horsepower car. The other one was, I mean, forget the money aspect. It makes no sense to buy that car. For me, it makes zero sense to buy that car. The GT500 I currently own is just a drag car. That's all. It doesn't do anything else well. It's just a drag car. So it's not that appealing to me either. Like, at this point of my life, I'd rather have an R8 Alpha 12 package that runs 8s and rolls and runs out of people's fucking lives. Yeah, it's going to cost me $200,000, but it does it all. And meanwhile, you have $120,000 4,200-pound GT500 that fail-safes and has clutch over temp codes, and you're okay with it? Bro, stop it. I'd love to build the Fox, but damn, the price of a junk Fox is crazy. Yes, the mental gymnastics. I think most Shelby owners just leave it alone and get the matching model CAD. In my opinion, guys, if you're a 2020 GT500 owner and you watch this channel religiously, which I highly doubt, because you guys are probably watching some guy who used to build Shelbys back in the day because he knows more about Shelbys. They don't know shit more about Shelbys than I do. Guys, there were Shelby guys in the 2011 through 2014 deal that made money selling people differential coolers. Diff coolers. There were people selling you special belts, cool color belts, diff coolers, intercoolers for your diff, because you know all those road racing 13-14 GT500 owners strut tower braces with their names on them. This is the same shit. Shelby owners are a nice little pot you can dip into when you want to sell absolutely useless shit. How many products have you seen for the 2020 GT500 that are absolute trash when all you should do, Shelby owner, is a tune, maybe some exhaust, call up ultimate header Jim Browning and say, Jim Browning, I need inch and 7/8, because 2-inch headers are for stupid motherfuckers that think that you need 2-inch headers on a car that makes 800 wheel. Like, 2-inch headers on a car that makes 800 wheel. That's where we're at right now. Get a tune, headers, maybe a couple more pounds of boost so you can sort of live on pump gas, bigger injectors, and, you know, boost the pump and live a happy life. No, you motherfuckers go, I need a ported blower. I need 2-inch headers, ID 1300s, 2.1 pulley thimble from GripTech, 70% overdrive. You guys are some stupid ass motherfucker.
Stupid.
I'm surprised you haven't morphed into a Shelby douche owner. I look at my car every day, right? My 2014, my Shelby. I don't care. I don't care about that car. That car is a nice car. That car is an 11 verified, 1100 horsepower, low 8-second car. Can drive, get ice cream. Got a 400 trans. It's built. Everything. I don't care. I don't care about that car. I can't take that car to Miami on a road trip. I can't take that car road racing anywhere unless I severely bring the boost way down and put a stick in it. It's not a car. Like, drag cars are gay. Once you get to a certain point in life where drag racing isn't everything, guys, I come across more roll races than anything here in South Florida. I know they're gay, but no one dig races down here. The track is closed. So that car now is just a car that I have to transport 3 hours north, one way or the other, Orlando or Bradenton, to go down the quarter mile track in about 8 seconds and then turn it around, taking about a half hour to turn it around to go down the track another 8 seconds. And I'm like, this sucks. This is stupid. What would I rather have? I'd rather have an Alpha 12 R8 run 890, 880, but I drove it there, ran 890, 880, and drive it back, right? Drive that motherfucker back and be able to roll race anybody and have 1,200 horsepower on selectable modes, chill at 800, boop, 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 tap the fucking button. Now I have 1,200 ready to go. That's sexy, in my opinion. But we're in the Ford world. We're poor, so I got to talk to the poor. You're right, and they always steal the hit. Then they wrap the 2020 GT500 a different color. Right. Imagine buying and ordering an orange, green, blue, gray with stripes GT500. Then you wrap it. I'm protecting the paint. After I finish paying it off, I'm getting boosted. There is no way I'm going to go spend more than $10,000 if my car is not paid off. My buddy with a 14 GT500 Beefcake didn't have other headers in stock besides LTH 2-inch. Brandon had to adjust some things on idle to get happy, but it runs amazing. No, look, 2013, 2014 GT500s, I don't want to say they need 2-inch headers, but it is not a Coyote-based engine, guys. Look at the ports on a Trinity motor, 5.8 liters, okay, versus a Coyote-based motor, which is a Predator Voodoo-based, not, you know, the crank is different. And the displacement is different, but you don't need 2-inch headers. It's ridiculous. Yancey became a new member. Thank you, sir. Anything over 800 horsepower is a waste on the street. It depends on how your car is set up, EPA. So the Fairmont made 890 and it was insane on the street. You know what was perfect on the street for that car? 700. 700 was perfect. It was like a 960, 950 car with about 700 wheel. And that car was just fucking perfect at that. But it weighed 3,400 pounds. Now the goal is to make it weigh like 2,700, 2,600 and make about 550 wheel. And it should still run nines. That's the goal. Caliber T56 swap, it would be pretty cool. Yeah, I get it. But think about it. What does it cost me to make my blue GT500 stick? Sell the trans for about 12-13, and I'm still the clutch. I'm not going to get a McLeod RXT. I'm going to get something badass. And I have to talk. I would probably talk to the guys at Fad House and check into that RPS situation and talk to them about that at length, because I don't want to do with any McLeod bullshit on a 1100 horse, 1000 torque car. Would you consider building S550 V6s? Fuck no. Why? Why would I build the V6? Look, I don't know much about the V6s. I don't know if they're literally a Coyote with the front two cylinders chopped off like they used to be, but I would not consider building a V6 Mustang. No way. Dunnell 1359. What's your favorite car right now, Alex? My favorite car? You mean of the ones I have? probably my 19 GT. But you were so excited about that car before you got it. I was very excited about that car, right? I was like, oh my God, I can't wait to get it. And then I got it and I'm like, wow, it's awesome. And then I drove it down the street and it puked trans fluid. And I went, why did it puke trans fluid? Then I look up, oh, it has a really high stall converter without lockup and it gets the trans really hot and it pukes out the catch can. Okay, so I got that fixed. Then before it was owned by me, there was intercooler issues. The intercooler got clogged up because the car sat outside for a little bit and the weather and it got moldy and blah, 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 blah. So then I had to fix the whole intercooler system for the car with the tank. Okay, cool. Then the alternator, the whole harness took a crap. Okay, it's race car shit. I get it. Then the header broke at the EGR bung. So I had to buy headers. And I'm just like, okay, yeah, I don't like this anymore. So it'll quickly make you go, yeah. He says that you own my 19 GT is by far my favorite car right now. It's a stick. Got a Ben Callimer stage 2. Now it has a stage 3. I got to talk to Mikey, see when it's going to be done. And the Vortex Supercharge over 700 wheel. I'm a happy guy. Turvy's next build is going to be a V6 S550. When are you going to make that stage 3 review? When I have it. Alex, and I'm not going to go shift it hard, guys. It needs 500 miles of braking time. So that means I have to take a week or two to drive it around, but I'll drive it like my first impressions, but I'm not going to get on it and do power shifts in it. Oh, no. Fuck all that. Yes. Downhill Daddy. Go back to the beginning of the show. I talked about it. Hey, the 3.5 TT, not too bad. I'm not a fan of the 3.5. It's fine. You know, the Raptor version. And also I think the limited F-150 has the badass 3.5, but I'm not a fan of how it sounds. They make good power. I'm not going to say they don't make good power, but I'm just not a fan. I'd rather the 5-liter all day. Downhill Daddy, go to the beginning of the show. I talked about it. My girl was making fun of a V6 guy one day and I was dying. She said, it sounds like shit. The current EcoBoost guys or current 3-valve guys used to be the V6 Mustang guys. And V6 S197 guys, they all pointed to one guy that had a turbo S197 that was quick, but not fast. It wasn't like an 8-second car. It wasn't like a mid-9-second car. I think it was like a 10-second car. And that was their hero. Oh my God, this car runs. This guy beats V8s. Yeah, a turbo 6 beats V8s? No fucking shit. Put the same turbo in a V8 and then we'll start talking. But the same thing. Oh, if you build it right. And I'm like, you guys are sounding like cuck-ass 3-valve owners. 3-valve owners literally say, the 5.0 is not that much better than the 3-valve if you build it. Yes, it is. Get me a 11-to-1 or 12-to-1 compression 3-valve stroker 5-liter on pump gas. Bitch, you'll make what, 350, 380? So you've spent what, $6,000 to make that 3-valve make 20 less horse than a Coyote? Shut the fuck up already. Alice, any updates on selecting a truck or SUV? Well, Jake is trying to convince me to keep the truck. The trans did not break. What ended up breaking on my truck was the CVs in the front axles. Yeah, the front half shafts or whatever you want to call them broke. Like the boot shredded and it slung fluid out because I did a four-wheel drive dig against the Camaro and it destroyed the front CVs because Jake suspects the alignment isn't great because once the Beltec lowering kit did what it does, it put an additional amount of stress on the axles, on the boot. If you see how it sits on when an F-150 is high, you know, the axles are pretty straight. Once you lower it, they kind of get scrunched up. And when I did a four-wheel drive launch, it killed the boot and killed the axle. So I'm going to replace those. But Jake's like, you got to keep that thing. I'm like, why do I want to keep that thing? And then Beefcake tells me that Vortec might be close to their kit. And I'm like, God damn it. So who knows? Sounds like you really want a mid-engine car running about 1,000 horsepower. Honestly, that's exciting to me right now. Like you see other YouTubers get a Calvo Viper and have issues with it. You see other guys get this and this and that. Not many YouTubers that. How many YouTubers have you seen get a Gen 2 R8 at about 1,000 or 1,100 and have a ton of issues? Not to say that there aren't issues. I'm sure there's going to be some kind of issues. I want to know how the new Tundra sounds with a good exhaust. I don't like how raspy the Raptors are. It was a good sounding V6, maybe. Yeah, but that's $60,000. A Tundra TRD Pro is over $60,000. I got a lot of shit when I owned my 3-valve. Find a boost leak on your 19, or do you think the head unit is worn out? Mikey's doing that. Mikey's doing that. Mikey's doing the smoke check. Mikey's doing the trans. Mikey's doing everything. I got to get rid of this guy. Truviate, CV joint shredding for me as well as once I lowered my car correctly. If I run a Dietrich 400 pumps, do I still need a BAP? No. Vortec 3.6, FICs, 91 octane, no. The moment you put a Dietrich 400 pump in the car, take the BAP off. You should be good to go. How was the old Genesis you had? I loved that Genesis. I think it was a 2012. To this day, not many Genesis make over 400 wheel, over 400 horse. And that Genesis, if I could buy it again, it would be in black. I'd get a trans tune on it. I'd get exhaust on it. I would actually modify that Genesis. It's not going to be the fastest thing on the planet. But that Genesis was such a nice all-around car. Sedan, 400 horse, 6-speed, 2012. The problem is now you can't find them for under 90,000 miles on them. They have a lot of miles on them now. Turbo Mamalone, what about the turbo? No, La Mamalona turbo is not going to happen because Jake gave up on the kit. He gave up on the kit. Guys, I need that shit done now. I can't wait a year for a fucking kit. So I'm done. Give me a fully blown 352 with a custom intake and I'll beat Porsche, says Turvey. What McLaren rivals an R8? No. Why not a C8? It's a peasant R8. I can't modify it. Snowman. Can't modify a C8. I want to make 1,000 if I'm going to buy a mid-engine anything. 1,000. And I would not get an American or a ZR1. Because look, now the ZR1s are going to be stupid fast. Twin turbo. You saw the 5.5 variant that they're going to come out with. And it's gonna be twin turbo, make over 800 wheel. I want something that takes care of everything. And the R8, the only thing that's gonna be an R8 is a very light 1,000 plus horsepower Civic or another similarly equipped exotic. No dig, no race for me. Grow balls, dig, race cheese. Okay, sure. Wait, do you have a Fox body, Mike Jackovich, or is that your son? I'm looking at the picture. You're saying no dig, no race for me. So you're going to come to South Florida, let's say. Nobody dig races here. There's nowhere to dig race. But there are a ton of roll races happening. You're going to say no? You're going to say no to that race? Okay, that's fine. I'll roll race my GT500. That thing gets it. It's a low 4 second on the street 60 to 130 car. That's pretty quick. But the problem is it doesn't do it back to back. Are you team V8 all the way, or would you consider a Barra swap? I would never consider a Barra swap ever. Because okay, what does a Barra have over a Gen 2 Coyote? Go. Tell me what a Barra has over a Gen 2 Coyote. Go. I talked to Matt Coates at length about a Barra. The only reason to get a Barra is to be different. That's it. It's to be different. But a Gen 2 Coyote makes 850, 900 boost and fuel, no modifications, where a Barra needs rods, pistons, and a whole bunch of other shit to do that for a long time. I know they have like the latest Gen Barra. You can probably put boost and maybe a couple of things in it, and it makes 800, no problem. But a Gen 2 Coyote already does it, and I don't have to worry about any bullshit. Do a remote mount turbo on the Mamalona. This guy doesn't get it. I've seen a Genesis 5.0 cutaway, and it looks like a copy of the Coyote. Trans brake on the 6R80-29 Whipple car not needed. I have a built 6R80 with converter if that helps. Why do you think you need a trans brake for a lap for reaction time? That's probably the only reason. Or if you want to build boost on the line, but you're going to need to do a lot of suspension work, sir. Alice, I think you should get a Fat 350 1200R package. I don't have $120,000-$130,000 on top of the price of the car. Look, FatFab does phenomenal work, and I'm not saying it is not worth every single penny. But if I'm going to spend $150,000, it's going to be an Audi. Did I see Cuban sold this car? Yes, Cuban sold this car. Again, guys, he's probably going to build something, but he probably got 40 to 50 for that car, 45 or so, and that's a deal. If he sold that car for $45,000, a low 9, high 8 second car with a turbo 400, a single turbo, woof, someone got a deal. Does Joe VMP still have his regular cab truck? No idea. Gen 2R8 seems bulletproof around 1,000 wheel. That's what I'm saying. If I'm going to do anything is, you know, exotic, it's going to be an R8 Gen 2. But chocolate, the bar is a badass engine. Not really. It's no different than a Gen 2 Coyote. Tell me what's better from a bar than a Gen 2 Coyote. Go. Tell me specifics. Nothing. Bars are boat anchors. That's what I'm saying. People go Barra. And the guys that have badass Barra engines in Australia, they're built fucking billet this and cranking the. Stop it. It sounds like shit. Yeah, the bar does sound like shit. Is the Tremec in the C8 a fragile? Can't race them without breaking. Yeah, so the Tremec in the C8, I've heard axles breaking. I was a Texas 2K when the first C8 Corvette broke a fucking axle immediately, and I'm just like, that's not a good thing. Just got the notification. All out to you, Maverick lovers. But chocolate, where'd you go? People go out of their way to be different for clout. Waste of time and effort, resources, and money to leave harder and possibly lower 60s for your transmit. Okay, Jason, 661 Racing has a 2.9 front feed on his 07-09 S197. And he has a second gear leave trans brake and a first gear leave trans brake. The second gear leave trans brake is probably good for the street. The first gear leave trans brake is good for the track. And he's launching pretty damn hard. But the problem is where he's at, the track prep sucks. But the first gear leave on the street is probably too aggressive because he goes on questionable prep. So it all depends on what you want to do with the car. You're going to start breaking stuff. You might start shredding belts because think about what a trans brake does to the accessory drive, the belt drive, the converter, the axles, the drive shaft. It hits really hard and you might start breaking stuff. Go backwards in time, buy a C6Z06 or ZR1 and call it a day. Yeah. If I was to buy a stick car, it would be a ZR1. There wouldn't be anything else I'd buy that would be stick. And people are going to call me gay because I bought a Corvette. I'm not buying a ZR1 because I want to wear New Balances and be gay and suck dicks. I want to do it because it's King Daddy badass stick car still to this day. The $1,000 packages is the ticket without breaking the bank. I'd have to see because I don't trust a stock engine. Simple. I don't trust a stock GT350 engine at 1,000 horse. I don't trust a stock GT350 motor at 850 horse. Sorry. And... I get it, John Lucas. To make a Barra run, throw everything away but block. Stupid. Right. Like people go Barra. And then you throw Barra in it, big turbo. And at about 750 to 800 wheel, it just pukes its guts out. And you go, wait a minute. I thought the Barra was badass. It's not badass. It's badass if you have forged internals in it and super high-end parts. And a shitload of boost. Yes, it's badass then. Well, why don't you just get a Coyote? Proven in the US, available everywhere. Why fuck around? It's not cheap, but you know, it's badass to me because it isn't a V8. Okay, I'm done. run vetted combos and be done. Look at Adam LZ with his Barra 350. Nothing but problems. Should have just put a built 5.2 in it. He did it for clout. Anyone that knew anything about that build, and actually told him it's going to be badass was lying to him. I'm sorry. Anybody that knew anything about Adam LZ's bar up at 350 and told him it was going to be some sick ass shit was absolutely lying to him. He should have just, like you said, shoved a 5.2 in it, Hellion twin turbo, made 900 with the same stuff. But no, homeboy wanted to be different. He got a 6R80 with a quick six. Like, think about that build, guys. Think about the Adam LZ GT350 build. Barra, dumb. 6R80 without a control pack, dumb. And try to make it work. Oh, it only works in sport mode. Oh, it's just dumb. Clout? Yes. Did you guys watch it? Absolutely. Did you guys think it was cool? Sure. Did the people that knew anything in the automotive industry look at him and go, oh my God, you are wasting your time. Oh my God, you're wasting money. Oh my God, you're not looking any. What's it now? A sequential bar now? Is that what it is now? Tremendous waste. The bar is just another internet cloud engine. Exactly. Like everyone thinks 2JZs, make 1100 wheel. Everyone's like, 2 Jay-Z makes 1100 wheel with nothing but just a tune. There are kids out there. Guys, there are kids out there that look at a 2 Jay-Z stock, nothing done to it, and go, oh, legendary. Legendary. Legendary? Never seen it. Clout to me isn't doing stupid shit like building a 3-valve. What the fuck? Run vetted combos on vetted Mustang setups and shut up. Look, I understand the attention and I understand why people want to be different. But why do you want to be different? Okay, let's think about this. When I was going to high school, I wanted to blend in. I didn't want to be bothered. I didn't want to be a bitch. I just didn't want to be fucking talked to. I wore the same shit most people wore. Some jeans, some sneakers, and a shirt, and leave me the fuck alone. Then you got the goth kids. Then you got the fucking dickheads that wear shit to stand out. Look at me. Oh, look at me. I'm so different. I am not a conformist. Same thing with building cars. I want to be different, so you look at me. I want to be so different. Look, I'm going to put a bar up with a 6R80 and a quick six. What? Recipe for disaster. Boom. Car didn't do shit with a 6R80. And I'm sure they'll blame Power by the Hour. But, oh, Power by the Hour transmission's junk. No, the quick six was junk. You want to be... People don't want to build a Fox body with a Coyote or an LS because everyone's doing it. Yeah, but those guys are running 8s and 7s. No, I want to be different. I want to bar swap a 6R80 with a quick 6 and run nothing. Look at me, everybody. Look at me. Hey, everyone, want to see me over here? Yeah, what are you doing over there? I'm doing crazy, wild, different shit. Cool, does it work? No. The fuck out of here. Stupid. Attention horse, talking shit. Psycho kids. Beefcake in the house? His Beefcake here? Oh, here we go. Beefcake's in the house. He goes, Matt, I should have a smooth and 6R, 10R in stock. Okay. I think he meant some more. Just wait till they had... Wait, they had a trans from Jake too? Yep. They called Power by the Hour, and I wouldn't have... If I would have gotten the phone call, hey, how you doing? Hi, my name is Adam LZ. I have a big channel on YouTube, because of course he mentioned the channel. Yeah, I got a big channel on YouTube, and I was interested in one of your max build transmissions. Awesome. What are you putting them in? What are you putting the trans in? Barra swap GT350. What are you controlling it with? I was thinking about the quick six. I got people that know a lot about the quick six. Okay, you're going to burn it up. Really? Yeah, you're going to burn it up. You're going to burn up that trans. It won't be able to shift and drive properly. Maybe you might be able to shift into sport mode, but the quick six sucks. It's going to burn it up. The controller sucks for the 6R80. The quick four for the 4R70 is fine, but the quick six for the 6R80 sucks. So you're going to be in for a world of hurt, and I don't think I can warranty anything on this transmission because of that. Okay, send it to me. Do they make a wheel for the Barra? If not, then it sucks. Hello. Watch the replay. Here's a like. Thank you, sir. The quick shits. Exactly. The quick shits. So a lot of people are out there that are in the know, in my opinion, are kind of like, I think you have a responsibility, in my opinion. I think you have a responsibility to kind of tell people, man, your shit's going to be fucked up, because I don't want you making me look bad. I don't want you making me look bad because you put the trans in something that it doesn't belong in. Like, you put that trans in a Barra swap 350. Why don't you just shove a 5.2 in it? Like, if you would have said, Alex, I'm going to shove a 5.2 in it with a T56. Okay, that's cool. No, homeboy was like, Barra, because turbo sounds. And did you see some of the tuning that was happening during that shit? I just got clips. They were losing their minds because it was decel popping. I'm like, that's where we're at now? Decel popping? That's where we're at? Unbelievable. But Alex, those cloud chasers can limp their piece of shit car to a car show, hard park, and then talk about how awesome their build is, ignoring the fact that they're worried about it making home. So your Instagram description says you don't like 3-valves without louvers, but what about with louvers? What about with louvers? Without louvers. I'm going to clap your 19 Mustang's cheeks with my all motor car. Okay, cool. Again, you can race my GT500. I like how people think that my 19 is like something I want to race. Guys, I just want to have 700 horse and fuck around and do dumb shit. But you're welcome to do a roll. See how that goes. You got to be on the right side of the Great Wall of Whipple. This live chat reminds you of a fool and his money are soon parted. Can we get more likes, guys? Do we have how many likes do we guys do we got? Let me see. If you don't got likes, I'll do like Kevin Samuels and just play music and leave until the likes come back up. Let me see. 220 likes for 352 viewers. That's whack shit. Well, that's okay though. What are you gonna do? What are you gonna do? I'm gonna purchase the Doom from London next week. Does the Steeda closed box have drivability issues even with the insert in? Like, I don't know any cold air intake that's aftermarket that doesn't have some kind of quirk. You know what I mean? Like, a very wise man once said, if you want your car to drive like stock, Zach, keep it stock. You know what I mean? Like, if you want to keep it stock, like, the guys over in Great Britain or England or whatever the fuck you call that shit, I am blown away that they order a performance tune and complain that the car drives different. I'm like, wait a minute. You ordered a performance tune, sir. Yes, but it drives different. Okay, so what did you think was going to happen? Well, I thought it was going to run exactly the same everywhere all the time, except when I go wide open throttle. So then you have to potentially explain to somebody how the tune works. Well, can't you just give me stock drivability at low throttle? Well, we can give you stock-ish drivability at low throttle. But, you know, they want you to... It then becomes a tune that is so complicated based on what they want that it surpasses naturally aspirated revisions, naturally aspirated modifications. Like, NA stuff should be very simple. Here it is. Here's the base deal. Go for it. No, but I want this. And then when this happens, I want this to happen. And then when this happens, I want this to happen. But then when I put it in sport mode, I want everything to happen super duper customized. Here's a link. You can buy the SET Pro Racer package. You can buy the HP tuners, draw the file, and tune it yourself because I'm not in your head. I'm just not in your head to be able to do what you want. Exactly. Dude's probably sitting on a milk crate trying to race your 19. Hey, Alex, what do you think of swapping fully loaded 2020 premium for a fully loaded F-150 Lariat with a Coyote V8? Both have the same mileage. Look, obviously, it all depends on what your needs are. It's a totally different car. You're going from a sports car to a truck. This is a performance and racing channel, so I don't really know. Whatever you, if you need a truck, get a truck. What do you want me to tell you? Also, I don't know why, but when he got rid of the 680, he didn't go with the regular H pattern T56. I get it had a sequential gear set in it, and now that's having issues. See? Because it's different. Murad Karatepe. Imagine you say, hey guys, I'm going to get a vetted combination that works phenomenal. An H pattern T56 with a 5.2 Whipple or a 5.2 Hellion twin turbo. And it'll be badass. People are going to go, yeah, but you don't have issues with it. So we don't want, like, people I think want to see cars fail. A sequential T56 to me is only good if you want to maybe road race or drift, right? Rally race. What are you doing? H pattern for the win all day, every day. Is there such a thing as a race tune? There is, only if you have race gas. Like, I'm blown away that people ask for a trans tune on a 10R80 or 6R80 car. I go, it's tuned. Yeah, but I want a more aggressive trans tune. Here it is on the 10R80. Oh, it shifts too hard. Do you think a tune on a pretty much stock with just a drop-in filter would benefit from a tune that would be noticeable, save for a boost tune then? Yeah, look, it'll be noticeable if you have the best thing you could do for a bone stock car is get a tune because it opens up the rev limiter. The rev limiter is opened up. It allows you to take advantage of higher octane fuels, and you have adjustability if you ever want to modify the vehicle in the future. But a lot of people, if you like how your car drives and you're a happy cat and you're not out there racing, bro, leave that shit stock. Leave that shit stock. Sir, may I donate to support you? You can do whatever you want. But this chat specifically, Mr. Dick Hertz, is a non-paid chat because it is the peasant chat. How does a Luntune not drive like stock? My 14 GT felt smooth, idled quieter, and revved higher. I thought it was much different from stock, and it ran almost a half second quicker. Dude, people are all out there, and they nitpick everything. How many people do you know that stare at their AFR gauge on a bone stock Mustang? How many people do you go, oh, look at my AFR. My car's bone stock from Ford, and I'm going to stare at my AFR. No. Nobody. Nobody stares at AFR stock. But then let them get a tune. Car's not modded at all. Then they get a tune. Then they stare at AFR. Oh, why is it bouncing up when I give it gas and let up? Let me turn it on. And then they do weird tests in the driveway. What's that? What's that? What's that? Load the stock tune in it, and it does the exact same thing. But they start doing these weird tests once it's tuned because they're expecting issues. Holy shit. Tuning's not for you, bro. Tuning's not for you. Beefcake became a member. Holy shit. Thank you, Beefcake. I appreciate you for becoming a member. You don't got to do that. You've done plenty for me, brother, but I appreciate everything you do. If Adam was smart, he'd do the TKM5-2 with the T56, but he knows blowing it up will bring him more views. It's not the same trans. It's not the same trans you're thinking of. Beefcake, you ship to Canada? Of course he does. With built motor, how much power can a Gen 2 2.9 Whipple make? Should go turbo and not waste my time with a built motor. I remember I did a tune for Brent Speed and they had an old Gen 2.9, made 1,000, but it took a lot to get there. It started running out of steam up top. YouTubers do that for the clicks. Oh no, my quick six don't work. Good morning. Checking in from exam studying. Is the ESS tuning G3 any good for the Gen 3? Yeah, it's fine. It's no different than a Paxton or a Vortec, and you can go through Beefcake and save a lot of money with a Beefcake special. It's Sasso. Brenda have stock 13 GT and just got my base tune. Drives way better. Throttle response, rev limiter, butt dyno. Just send it, fools. I was a member. I upgraded. Thank you, sir. Appreciate that. AFR is command to a set point. Leave it the fuck alone and don't worry about it. No, people will stare at AFR because they swear to God it's different now when your car is not modified. Then they get an aftermarket cold air. The cold air is now, let's say you modified your car in terms of aesthetics. Let's say you got a grill delete. You guys really take a close look at how a Mustang's intake system is designed. And at the grill, there's a very specific opening for the cold air intake. Very specific. You think Ford just did that just out of shits and giggles? You think Ford put that specific opening in there with a specific snorkel just for the fucking hell of it? So you guys delete that. Bam! Open it up. Oh, look. Now a fucking bird can take my radiator out. You ever seen those grill deletes? And I'm like, bro, a fucking bird or coyote can slam into your shit, whatever. And then they have an aftermarket cold air intake without a shield. Oh, my car's running weird after the tune. You mean after you took the grill out, put a cold air intake without a shield, and you say it's the fucking tune's problem? Gotcha, buddy. Gotcha. Alex, please put the printer on the floor and Tony on the desk. He's not awake. No, he's not awake. He's chilling. I ran him all morning. Got to jump. Have a great day, everyone. Thanks for the show, Alex. You got it, Mr. Lake. Alex, I did something I never do, and I got a result I've never seen. Beefcake says we ship to Canada. I work hard for my money to have parts fail. I like hassle-free and appreciate people like yourself helping me make better decisions on modern Mustangs. Look, I've told you guys not to tune your car. Imagine a tuner telling you not to tune your car. Are you expecting exactly like stock drivability on your stock car? Keep it stock. Don't bother me. Leave me alone. In the case I've been looking for the Beefcake RTD Lund package, I can't find any answers or if I need a computer for any part of it, or it can all be done on the TDN app. You don't need a computer for really anything, honestly, if you do the TDN app. You know what I mean? As long as you get the TDN app, connect to Bluetooth on the RTD, upload a stock file, the stock read, and from then on, you will need a computer to at least correspond with Lund or do it through your phone, but you got to reply to the same ticket. Don't open new tickets. A lot of people do that. A lot of people just do it all through their phone. Mendoza's Coyote in the house. I don't understand the viewpoint. I would rather have built the works and is enjoyable and everyone sees out and about than a bunch of parts that can't coexist. So let's say I get a tune from London. I daily drive on this tune. If I go to the drag strip and I'm about to race for big money, you daily drive a car and you're going to race for big money. You daily drive a car and you're going to race for big money. Any issues with the JMS plug-in trans brake? I would not get a digital trans brake. I'll be honest with you. I prefer a wire-in relay version. Coyote ate a coyote. Alex, I guarantee guys even nitpick the Ford Performance tune. GT250 throttle body, cold air, and intake. They would be better off trading their car for an EV. Sasso, oh no, I smell 956. He said big money and a stock car. Not tuned by Lund, but I have a friend that is and tells me he's going to load his race-only tune. There is a E85 tune and then an E85 10R80 tune that we force drag mode into and it shifts firmer. But when you say big money and daily driver, that's like the opposite end of the spectrum. What's big money to you? No offense. People got fucked up priorities. Guys, I hear this every day. Imagine a guy says, I have a stock 18 Mustang with a PMAS and I'm racing for $1,000 tomorrow. What? You're racing for $1,000 on your stock car? Can I ask you a question? Why? Why? Why are you racing for big money on your stock ass car? This is why. They want to prove that their tuner's better. And then they'll say some shit like, I got beat by my friend on a $500 race. He sits exactly like I do, and he's tuned by somebody else. Get me a better tune. Shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck up. Just because you sit the same doesn't mean your car will perform the same. And every single time they say, these cars sit the same, I go, tell me about his car. Hell, send me his VIN number. Get the VIN number. Oh, it's a no option. It's a no option car. And your car is fully loaded with 355s. So your car weighs 3,900 pounds with you in it. His car weighs 3,700 pounds with him in it. But that shouldn't matter. Coyote 5.0, 10 R80, same thing.
Put up pinche 956 a la verga.
Every day. Not once. Not twice, not once a week, not once a month. Every fucking day I hear this shit. And I'm like, what is wrong with people? What is wrong with people? They're out there racing their daily shit ass drivers, cold air, E85 header, and they're racing for $500. Oh, my God. Remix the 956. 1 + 1 = 3. How the fuck is he still alive? I thought for sure he'd be done by now. If I didn't work till midnight, I'd probably be able to catch it from the beginning. How the fuck is it still alive? I thought for sure you'd be done by now. It didn't work midnight. I'd probably be able to catch. I don't know what the fuck he's talking about. Alex with the wizard wisdom drop. Can't forget the AIT, bitch. Yeah, the ambient. The AIT, $500, that's it. You're gay if you daily a Mustang. Wow, there you go. I mean, I'm telling you, he must be full bolt-on with an SET Ghost Cam. I'm telling you, bro. Some people literally say some stuff like that. The car sit the same. My friend beat me. What can we do about it? I don't care. I'm going to hopefully make enough money to keep the truck, the Fairmont, and I'm going to get an R8 twin turbo 1200 and just I don't know. Get a job at Home Depot and be the happiest guy on the planet. Oh, my God. Air intake. AIT is air intake? Oh, no. Stop it. Franco, AIT is air intake? Oh. Air intake? Like intake is two words? Hey, I got an AIT in the car and I want to know. In air intake. Fuck. Racing stock cars with drag radios only. You roll with the guys that claim to make 1,000 horsepower on pump gas. Oof. Got a guy with a 19 F-153 at Whipple 4-4. Wow, why? Truck runs 10.6 full weight. Of course it does. Now he wants to add nitrous. What do I tell him? You tell him what Canelo told Andrade.
Get the fuck out of here because I'm going to fuck you up right now, motherfucker.
And we say bye-bye.
I mean, he's got a full weight, 3.8 Whipple 4x4 truck. And he wants to add nitrous? My AIT is high. I love it. IAT. On the older cars, Cole, Paxton was typically air, Vortec, water-cooled on 11 to 17. Vortec is slightly smaller head unit. Doesn't make it like the wrong choice. And 18 and up, identical other than logo. Got it. This peasant chat is not disappointing. If you're truly happy with how your car sits, don't compare it to others or race it to see how it stacks up. Exactly. Sure is air intake. This Amory sucks again. RA would be a more appropriate ride for the Palm Beach. Rolling around in a Mustang and people probably think you're a Hertz rental. Yeah, that's the thing. But the nice thing about Palm Beach, you know the rentals. They're all EcoBoost and they're all convertible. And you know you're not from here when you got your convertible top down. Nobody in Florida puts their top down, son. Did you end up picking up the Fairlane yet? No, not yet. I had a long talk with Mike. Long. Mike's taking really good care of that car, and I'm really happy how everything went with that. He did a really good job. Who's still using nitrous in 2022? Just go boost. I'm telling you, I got four nitrous orders last week. They all were on point. Like, the guy knew his shit. I was like, oh, hey, send me a hit with nitrous active. Here you go. I'm like, how did it feel? He goes, felt fucking amazing. I'm like, the data log looks wonderful. Have a great day. Oh, but then I looked at his last name. And it was Smith. And I went, yeah, that makes sense. But if it was a puro pinche 956 a la verga, cuz.
Puro pinche 956 a la verga.
They would have been like,
cuz.
Can you give me more aggressive nitrous, too? You see those rats that came in your nitrous kit?
Yeah.
Some are bigger than the other.
Orale.
You can get bigger ones and get more aggressive. But can't you make more power in the dude? Adding nitrous to that combo is going to be likely Chernobyl under the hood, especially if he's pulling his RV. Seen the drag no prep Fox on Copart? No, I did not. T-top, tops down on West Palm, son. I'm trying to find a rental car when I go down in October. Might find something on Turo. Can't get a V8 from Thrifty. Intaker and 180 on the dash. 1,000 bet. Your opinion on converter Gen 3 A10. Plan TVS later this year. Long tubes have been ordered, and I was thinking maybe to do a converter at the same time. All-around car, not just drag racing. What? What's an all-around car? You road race that car? I wouldn't get a converter if you road race the car. I've got 4 nitrous kits and 7 bottles now. I've always been a boost guy till I put a kit on my daily F-body stick car. Now, every cheap kit I come across someone selling on Marketplace, I get them. Please send Alex a video of the F-150 Whipple nitrous carnage after it sends a rod to the moon. We have a live chat to analyze. Nitrous is addicting. I even purchased a mother bottle to fill my own bottles. No, thank you. Overheard my classmate saying that Ghost Cam Tunes changed the size of the cams to make it chop. I hate it here. Puro pinche 956 a la verga. Okay, so let's talk about that real quick. We got a couple minutes. I think Ghost Cam guys don't understand the theory of twin independent variable cam timing. So I'm going to try to explain how it works with a cam and block situation. So let's say you have an LS cam, a Dodge cam, and it's one big single cam in the block. Each lobe is responsible for a valve. One is intake, one is exhaust. Listen to me, Linda. One is intake, one is exhaust. So intake, exhaust, you know, so all the way down. The lobes, you know, let's say this is the top of the lobe, okay? Let's say this is intake, let's say this is exhaust. They're fixed. They're fixed. You can't move them because the cam is made out of fucking metal. In twin independent variable cam timing, just for visual sake, we can move the lobes. Think about it that way. Twin independent variable cam timing, when it comes to a cam and block design, right? If you want to do a visual representation, the intake valve and the exhaust valve, we can move them. So if, let's say, overlap is something around, you know, like this, well, I can move it like this or like this or like this. I can do anything I want with twin independent variable cam timing. So if a chop is wanted, let's say this is how it's cut, and this causes a chop, or this causes a chop, or this causes a chop, or this causes a chop, I can move the cams there. If a cam guy doesn't understand that, that's the best way I can explain visually how twin independent variable cam timing works in conjunction with the ghost cam. People need to pick up a book and actually read the shit. No, that's the problem, Ashton. They won't understand. They will not understand. Yes, but I heard the cam lope hurts the engine. Exactly, Beefcake. When people say that, I go, so when you install a kill the planet cam, does it hurt the engine? When it's going blip, 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 blip. People need visual representation because when they read it, they get confused. Again, if you tell somebody in writing how to tie their shoes, they will be fucking confused. You have to show them how to tie the shoe. Put this, bip, done. I was thinking of making a video like that. I was thinking of making a video where I take a cam and block, like a Ford cam, chop it up, and this is the intake exhaust, and I can make it chop based on where I place the lobe, for lack of a better word. Stop it. Exactly, the old scissor finger attack the kitty's lobe. So it's hard to, like, I could probably just make a video explaining that, but the problem is the comment section, I'm going to say that this causes overlap, and some guy goes, this doesn't cause overlap, this does, and this, you're so stupid, you went like this, and it shouldn't be like this, because top dead center on a Ford Mustang is like this, and then the piston. Alex, a whiteboard for next week, Professor Loretta Thunberg. When you buy a tune from Lund, do I need to add the E85 option for an extra 250 for that tune, or does it come included? It does not come included. You need to add it to 250. Put a stage 3 cam on my car. Dolphin started flipping out of the water. Thoughts? Just lock the cams. No, don't lock the cams. Please don't lock the cams. Oh. Hey, Alex, I locked the cams. I can't wait to get the tune. Really, sir? What angle did you lock them at? Wait, what? What angle did you lock them at? I don't know, the resting angle. The resting angle? Yeah. You lock the cams where they rest. Yep. Did you just explain what more or less guys tune their own shit than coyote guys? Make the video and disable comments. No, you want to see those comments. You want to see those. I'm going to make the video. I'm going to make the video like engineering explained. Well, stupid motherfucker. I got a cam lobe stretcher in my toolbox. Anyone want to borrow it? Yesterday's cam is not today's cam. Quick, scissoring me with your eyes. I learned how to tie my shoes using Braille. Scissor me timbers. Space room. The comments are funny. Do it. They was all straight up. Will the ghost cam tune damage the cats? No. Who told you that? Now, would I run it long term? No. Would you run a car that has a kill the seals cam with cats? Let's say you have a LS, whatever the fuck,
And the thing, burp, 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 burp.
Would you put cats in that car? Oh, tech talk with Alex. How much longer do you think we have modding cars realistically? New cars, it's over. It's over now. New cars. Old cars, parts that are out now will still be made, or they'll be used parts all over the place. New cars, you probably have 3 to 5 years before all manufacturers stop making easily available ICE cars, and they'll be specialty vehicles only, $100,000+, where the production numbers are low, so they're not beholden to EPA laws or bullshit. I'm a welder. I cut my own cams and place the load where I want it. I weld it, and I'm sounding good. What power level do you commonly lock their cams? No, none. I don't think locking cams is something that needs to be done if you have cam control. We had VCT in the blue car all the way up when we went 770s. That car is not alone within 5 miles of SeaWorld. Alex's finger banged the cam tune. Is Bondo Bird here? I only asked because it said for catalyst exhaust on the option for ghost cam. If it said that on their website, let us know. We'll take that shit off. If you have a 3/4 cam and you're a 3/4 jack off, don't say shit about your lift and duration. 3/4 cam. What the hell is that? All right, guys, it's not over. We still have standalone computers for a while. We're talking about parts, Duloco. Parts, headers. Imagine a 2025 Mustang comes out. You can't do shit. You can't get a header for it. If the design changes, you can't get access to the tuning, and standalone companies will not make shit for that car. He's talking about new cars. Alex, or is it me, or is the Dunkin' Donuts cup got smaller? Seems like a medium is a Dixie cup. Yes, they did do something weird with that shit. All right, guys. Do the rest of the guys live in Florida? Yes, all the Lung guys live in Florida now. Northern area. Alex, I need a tune for my Ford Model T. What do you suggest? At what point are aftermarket cams necessary? Almost never. I've seen stock cam car go well into the sevens, and it's not really a big issue. I'm out of here. See you guys tomorrow, 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for YDBT Daily. I might make that video of the cam thing explaining how ghost cam works, because I had a Dodge guy come to the channel and say, I want a ghost cam for my 5.7 Hemi. Can you help me? And he was dead serious. And I could have flamed him, but I thought to myself, this is a good opportunity to visually, not scientifically, visually explain what cam lope overlap and stuff like that. Not technical, because I'm not a technical guy. I speak to the dumbasses, and it seems to work nicely. I am the dumbass whisperer. All right, guys. See you guys tomorrow, 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I might be on tonight for the dating channel. I didn't have one yesterday. I just didn't want to do one. I was tired. But if I have time tonight, I'll get on and talk some shit with you guys on a Sunday. If not, I'll see you guys during the week sometime. But tomorrow for sure, 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time is the next time I see you guys on this channel. See y'all later. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday.